This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What happened this episode? You wouldn't believe me if I told you. How about you try anyway? Don't you forget about me. Yes, we are talking Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 7, Episode 7, The Totally Excellent Adventures of Mac and the D. The AfterBuzz After Show starts right now, and we are with our illustrious panel of super comic book experts and expertise. All the way to my left, my right, or my down, we don't know, we're on Zoom. We have Katie is in the building. Hello, Katie Kawamoto.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back.
Well, welcome back to you. Katie, of course, has red hair, therefore you know she knows everything. And speaking of knowing everything, we have our own resident know-it-all. Christian Blatt is amongst us.
I really wasn't sure which one of us you were going to call a know-it-all.
There was
because you would have been right in either case. By the way, I'm to your right, Rachel's under me, and Katie is under you. So if you want to know what the positioning is.
It depends on what you're looking at. The screen I'm looking at is completely different because as much of a know-it-all as you are, this know-it-all is also an author. And also someone's name who I usually do not like to say, okay? Because she doesn't ship Daisy and I, even though overwhelmingly, just to let you know, in the comments, they shipped us. I just want to let you know, Rachel Radner is in our in our presence.
I'm here.
Lack of enthusiasm really actually hurt my heart.
Here's the thing. I ship you and Chloe, but I don't ship you and Daisy because I ship Daisy and Daniel.
Then you don't ship me. I'm shipping with Chloe. There is no, I mean, I'm shipping with
See?
Daisy.
You said it yourself. Shipping
with Daisy. You confused me in my mind.
Chloe's great. Chloe's great, but she doesn't have any quake powers.
Exactly.
Although maybe Daisy doesn't
either. Does Daisy.
Daisy doesn't,
Daisy definitely doesn't. My name's Tyrone. Of course, I'll be hosting and paneling on this week's episode. As always, I know all things comic books. We are talking Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 7, Episode 7, The Totally Excellent Adventures of Mac and the D. You guys, I'm going to be very honest. I'm going to break this episode down as thus, and if I miss anything, I want you guys to help me because, to me, this was the, we'll get into this in our overall thoughts, but it was the best episode ever of all time ever of ever. So, we get May and Deke. We get Sybil. So here we think Sybil, digital Sybil, reconstructed Sybil. Mac sees Mac. So we get this robot Sybil. We get Mac basically seeing Mac and that whole play out. Then three is a company, which is basically Mac, Deke, and Mac's bad attitude. Like, I don't care how you put it. Because Mac's attitude was poor. Deke's performance, it's urgent. We get which is the whole thing on its own. We also get robots. Did we count enough robots? Or were there more robots? Should there be more robots in that equation? We find out together. Of course, our special segment, Agents of Should, news and gossip. And we will throw out some predictions just for fun because we could have never guessed this was going to happen. We thought we knew, but we had no idea. What were your overall thoughts on this week's episode, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 7, Episode 7, The Totally Excellent Adventures of Mac and the D. Let's start with she whose name shall not be said, Rachel Radner.
All right. So overall, I think that what I loved about it is that it was very 80s. There was like every 80s trope that you could ever imagine was all crammed into this episode. The robots, the blood. Like, I felt like I was watching an 80s slasher film. And also, it was like that combined with Back to the Future 2.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I felt. And I also really loved that we had, that we knew the Deke got, was it returned to the Zephyr because of that, you know, that book ending that we had between him and May, where they were, where she was like, no, so tell me. He's like, well, you wouldn't believe me.
That's how it works. That's how I try to start it. Christian, what were your thoughts on this week's episode?
Well, there's so much to digest because as somebody who, you know, they say that if you can remember the 80s, then you weren't really there. Well, I remember all of it. And believe me, I was there. There were so many shout outs to those of us who were there. First of all, and I knew this from the Coming Attractions last week, Max Headroom Coulson is kind of like everything in my life. And I don't want him back in a real body. I want Max Headroom Coulson forever because I just love the idea. And Rachel, I'm sure you caught the Doctor Who shout out from the robots, the exterminate from the robots.
Yes.
So and just the fact that Deke, and I've always thought about this, when somebody goes back in time and they steal a song, what are the odds that they remember all of those words to that song? And the fact that Deke really didn't know the words, he just kind of knew the chorus. I'm like, yes, if I went back in time, I would try and, you know, make a fortune stealing songs. But I'm like, I don't really, like, I would need to Google them and I wouldn't be able to do that. So I loved all of it. I thought there was some really heartfelt stuff for Mac and Deke. And I don't know, just all the 80s of it, though. I was there for it from beginning to end.
He threw in Daisy's name into the song.
He had to. Amazing.
Because he's trying to steal Daisy away from Tehran, so he's going to do it via song.
It's so funny. It's the don't you forget about it. He forgot. Anyway, Katie, what are your thoughts?
This was actually, I agree with what you guys said. It was one of my, probably my favorite episode of the season. We did see that slasher bit, which obviously I love. Who doesn't love a good 80s horror film? But the one thing I thought of is there was a quote saying, isolating isn't healthy. You need your friends. Did they travel to the future before they wrote this season? Because, I mean, it's literally echoing off everything that is going on right now. So it's just congrats on that, because I have no idea how they managed to do that. But I did also write the Doctor Who reference. As soon as they said exterminate, my little Whovian heart was super excited. But my biggest thing that I did not like about this episode was, why do they got to keep doing Deke so dirty and being so mean to him?
They're so mean to Deke. So mean to Meek.
He's not dumb. He's not dumb. Like, he's proven that to you. So why do you keep acting like he doesn't know his stuff?
So Deke has been extremely competent. He's been extremely helpful. He's been there. He's saved people. He's been brave. He's actually sacrificed himself, even though the sacrifice was unnecessary and it didn't go through. Yeah. He didn't know that it would not happen. He's done everything, and they are just so mean to Deke. Like, he's the orphan stepchild that they never wanted. Like, stop being mean to Deke. This was, by the way, this is in my top three. This episode was in my top three Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes because of all the reasons all of you said, plus more. Did we get action? Yes. Did we get plot? Yes. Did we get character development from Mac? Yes. Did we get Deke storyline? And I love Deke. Yes. Did we get bits and pieces that are going to explain what goes forward? And also, are we altering the timeline? Yes. We got all of these things all in one. We got the 80s, which is possibly the best decade of all time, given its craziness and effects and just its implications on pop culture. I don't think anything has affected pop culture more than the 80s. So I just love this episode. I loved how it played out. It was entertaining from beginning to end. It is up there for me in that Ghost Rider episode. It's up there for me in the octopus monster episode. It's just not only the best episode of the season, it's extremely well written. And a little known fact is the person who wrote The Simpsons actually specifically wrote that isolation line. So, no, I just made that up because The Simpsons gets everything right. But who knows at this point? Who knows? Who knows? So let's talk May and Deke. So we get this. So we get back to the Zephyr. So we start off like, oh, everything's okay, but it's not. And May is basically interrogating. I don't know how else to... She's not questioning. She's interrogating Deke. And Deke's like, you're not going to believe me. And he starts telling the story. And of course, she does not believe him. What are your thoughts on the May and Deke interrogation? Katie.
I thought it was an interesting way to show a flashback where you didn't necessarily notice that that's where they were going at first. because usually when they do a flashback, it's very blatantly obvious and kind of a little bit predictable. But I liked it in this sense, in the perspective that, of course, Deke is going to be the one who gets to tell the story, because when else does he ever get to be the only person who really knows something? So I enjoyed it a lot because
as the only person from the future, he should be the only person who has something to say a lot of the times, to be honest.
You're right. I'm not gonna deny that. But also, we all do like seeing May as a badass. And
yeah, she was a badass. And why didn't she use her empathy power to tell that Deke is clearly just telling it, or at least his version of the truth? Christian, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that, you know, there was never going to be any chance that May had any respect for Deke after he got wasted on Zima. And I think a lot of us feel the same way. I think he became comic relief in that moment. And despite the fact that he's smart enough to steal technology from the future on multiple occasions, by the way, and can't quite remember all of the Simple Minds lyrics, I thought that I liked watching that dynamic because, I don't know, I think May knows she's better than a lot of people, but I think she just has such contempt for Deke. And maybe we'll see that turnaround in this second half of the season. You know,
so much contempt for Deke, though? And this was the most apparent in this particular episode.
Because he's such a buffoon to May.
Let's calm down.
I find him very endearing. And so, she just sees him and it's just like, this guy's a joke, you know? I mean, and he thinks that him and Daisy are going to happen. And May knows it's Tehran and Daisy. So that's really, she can't respect him for that reason.
Christian. Rachel.
So here's my thing. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was silly. I liked that it was there, but I didn't really, like, it almost kind of, it was silly in a like, oh, we're going to, you know, kind of like go through like the, you know, like break the fourth wall sort of deal to me, because I could tell that this was kind of done for fan service more so than the plot, in the sense that this is, you know, obviously 80-centric episode. And I feel like they kind of tied it in to add to the overall silliness of the trope with, oh, you're never going, you won't believe me if I tell you. Like, it was just so like, overly exaggerated, but I think that was just kind of written in that way to make us laugh at home, which it did. I thought it was very silly and fun, and I wasn't that mad at May for treating Deke that way because I felt like the scene was so silly. When it came to Mac, I was kind of mad at the way that he was treating Deke, and I know we're gonna get there, but just the scene that really, it just, yeah, just the thing, the scene that breaks my heart is some of the things that Mac was saying about Deke's schemes and how they were all built on, you know, nothing but fake endeavors.
Yeah, Mac also very mean to Deke. I actually, you know, I loved how they set this up. I understand that it was fanfare, but they've had fanfare episodes before and none of them were as successful as this one. This one was definitely for us and it felt like it was by us as well. Like, it's almost as if a fan wrote this episode, and that's why I liked it so much. It was such a for the people episode. May being a badass is always the best. May being so disrespectful. I don't know why she's just so disrespectful to Deke. Deke, once again, I feel like has shown and proven himself. And even though his ways or his way of doing things isn't the way May would do it, it doesn't have that nobility, for it, so to speak. He has his own sense of humility that I think a lot of people need to understand, and especially May. And especially May, who's by the way, not like this to Yo-Yo, who is at times incompetent. I'm going to say this because she ineffectively uses her powers. She's not like this to Daisy, who, yes, now Daisy's amazing, but let's not forget seasons 1 and 2 Daisy. Let's not forget her. She's not like this to Mac, who's broody and moody and all these things. She's not like this, clearly, to Coulson. Even when she was distant, she never, ever disrespected Coulson. She's not like this to any other member. She's not like this to Simmons. And we don't know if Fitz even exists, so we don't know at this point. Fitz isn't even real. Fitz is just a paycheck at this point. I don't know. I feel like Fitz did something to piss off a producer. There's just no, at this point, there's no reason for this. However, she's really like this to Deke, and I really, and I've always brought this up, but this episode to me was the one in which everybody was almost unbearably bullying Deke, honestly. And I want this, I'm saying this because I'm hoping writers pay attention. I know this season's already written and done, but just understand that we see this and we don't appreciate it. We love Deke. We love Deke as much as I love Daisy. So, but I did love how it started, and I loved how it was like you're not going to believe me, tell me the story, and then we get the story. I liked how it was used. It reminded me of 80s movies. It reminded me of Princess Bride. It reminded me of these where you get someone never-ending story. You get the concept of someone telling you the story, you listening to the story, and then someone breaking the story in the middle, being like, no, that couldn't have happened. And then, because you're in it, in the stream, and then you're pulled out immediately. So I like that. Sybil is not destroyed in the explosion. Sybil is basically back to being Sybil. Christian, Sybil.
Yeah, I like the idea that two can play at that game. And, you know, there were a lot of people in the chat that were like, well, what is Max Headroom? And it's this advertising campaign from Coca-Cola for those watching on YouTube. And mm-hmm. So that's exactly what Coulson was. Well, they were able to do that with Sybil as well, which makes sense. And I definitely loved the sort of weird science kind of angle of this guy who works at the computer store is like, finally, this is going to, I'm going to have a real girl. And it's a robot girl who hates him. So I thought that that was a nice touch too. And I would have been fine if they had come up with a different adversary for the second half of the season. I didn't need Sybil that much, but it's interesting that, look, if Coulson's going to survive, then so is Sybil. And I think that that'll be interesting to see. But also, you know, talking to Tehran's point about being needlessly unkind, Chris Moe in the chat, I don't know if I should ban him forever. He says, whoever would ship Tehran and Daisy together, that would never happen. I don't know why he would write something like that. And I definitely don't know why I would even read it on the show.
Yeah. Who said that? Who said that?
Chris Moe.
Hey, Chris Moe, I understand why you feel that way, and I appreciate you. And you know what? Everyone's opinions are welcome, and we appreciate all of you for being as much, if not more so, a part of this panel as all of us. Ryan, who's in the back and showing us up, can you please block Chris Moe? Block Chris Moe from the comment, please.
By the way, Rachel's husband, aka Hubby Joe, jokingly said, who's Fitz? Because it's kind of the point. Because
we exactly.
But now everybody in the chat is explaining who Fitz is.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's how nice our chat is. They're actually explaining it to him.
By the way, Ian DeKate Stecker has the easiest job right now of just, or did, because obviously just a paycheck. For anyone who doesn't know, he plays Fitz.
Yeah, and he's still listed, which makes you think he's going to be playing.
That's annoying. And I think that they do it on purpose so that you don't know what before. If you looked at the IMDb before the season came out and they don't put someone's in every episode, you automatically assume that they die. So mm-hmm. I think that's why they did it on purpose.
Well, he's a main cast. They have to put him in.
Yeah, it's more of that behind the scenes stuff that he's getting paid for every episode.
Of course,
I think because of that, he has to end up in the credits. But what if we just don't see him at all this year?
Well, the only way that that's acceptable is if they decide that they're going to do a Fitzsimmons movie separately. If they announce that, then he can just not show up this entire rest of the season.
That sounds like a movie that could get Rachel back into an actual movie theater.
Totally. I'm there. No, but I just kind of going off that a little bit more, I am very upset that we have not seen Fitz yet. This is episode 7, and we only have 13 episodes. I understand they're trying to keep the suspense with him, and that he's not supposed to be around, but I'm torn up on the inside because this is the last season. If this was not the last season, then fine. But no, this is the last, these are the last episodes we're ever gonna get from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's a good
point. I just had to say that.
Yeah, thank you for bringing down the chat.
Ivan Soto is saying that Ian Fitz isn't listed in the billing of the cast. I really thought I saw his name, but
I thought I did too. Yeah.
All right. Well, either way, he's still getting paid.
Hey.
Yeah.
Katie, any thoughts?
On the whole Sybil thing, first of all, I liked that it was kind of, you know, in Captain America, we saw the whole computer technology. And so I did like that little Easter egg that they threw in. As for the whole Sybil situation, it also had that AI vibe and the robot vibe that was super creepy about that time. So I wasn't really expecting her to come back as a robot. And I like that I was not expecting that. You had told me she was going to come back as a different version of a robot. I don't know. Wouldn't have seen it coming. I might have been kind of dumb to not notice it, but yeah.
I really like what Christian said is what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Is we see that it works for Coulson. So of course it also works for Sybil. Very similar. And we got that in last week's episode when they meet, because you see that their dichotomy, like, okay, they are much more similar than we realize, to the point that Sybil even points out, you're not like them either. You're like one of us. So just seeing that come to play, and Sybil, of course, I like Sybil as a villain. I don't know. Is everyone in the group like okay with Sybil being this articulate villain, this amazingly just well done villain? I like her.
Yeah, I mean, she's really calm, and I really appreciate when we get someone like that, because also it's like you said, I think in our last discussion, Tehran, last week, that the greatest villains are also the people who really, in their world, they are not the villain. They're not doing anything wrong. They have a reason and a point of view as to why they're doing something. And with Sybil, even though from our perspective, she's terrible, she's doing all these awful things, from her perspective, she is saving her race.
Yeah, so, there's nothing wrong with what she's doing.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that plays out. I really like the Sybil character. I like how she was the linchpin to everything. Let's get into that Mac dynamic. Mac is just down. This was like just another thing. I just lost my parents. I've lost everyone I've ever known. You know, yo-yo doesn't even work right. I mean, what's going on? And then we see Mac just immediately just desert Deke in a way. And then we see Mac basically go visit his parents' grave, go to see what's going on with his, I want to say younger self, but is it even him? I don't know how that works out either, how that's going to play. So, and not even going there, it's like you're the absentee father, you're the absentee you. I don't even know how to express it exactly, but it plays out. I don't know. Katie, what did you think of this version of Mac?
It's very different, but I do appreciate that they are able to show that someone as strong can also have their lowest low, especially for a male character, because I know there's a lot of stigmas about showing weakness in male characters on TV. And so for me, they played on depression and the inability to sometimes even be able to function. And so to me, the fact that they played on that does say a very strong message that a lot of shows don't take opportunity to show. You know, he's been through a lot, and sometimes someone can wipe it away for so long, and then all of a sudden that's just going to crack. And to show it be someone as masculine as, you know, as Mac, completely not be able to function.
Sheesh.
It was heavy. It was heavy for me.
It was very heavy. It was very heavy. Rachel.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is that we've seen Mac go through some awful things before this, but I think that it's just, he's at a point where literally, if we go back to the end of season 4, there has really been no break. Like, he has just been, it's one loss after another. And so from that perspective, I think he finally, you know, he took his moment, which was very characteristic of him, to leave, get some air on his motorcycle. But now, you know, obviously being stuck in the 80s, it forced him to, he didn't have a mission anymore. He was stuck in his own isolation with nothing to do. And it's sometimes that is the worst thing that can happen to a person, when they have nothing to keep them busy, when they are just surrounded with their own thoughts. And so I think that it finally forced him in those, that 20-month period that he was away from everyone and not serving as director, it forced him to deal with himself and to deal with all of that loss and all of the pain and everything that he had been through in these last, you know, set of seasons. So I think that we really needed this episode.
Christian.
Well, at least he had that beard to show for it, you know? I mean,
I like the beard. I think it made me feel great.
Yeah, it's like, I think it requires more attention to detail than that model car that he was working on to actually maintain that beard. But yeah, I think that, you know, look at face value. I mean, you think back when you first get to know Mac on the show, there's so much more to him than I think that we ever, me personally, I ever would have imagined. And I like that we've had all these years to really explore his character. I do hope he catches a break by the end of the year and at least one thing goes his way. That's great. He got made the director of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it, literally everything else that's happened to him in the last few seasons has been terrible, you know? So I think that, it was very touching, and I think that I agree with everyone that he was so harsh towards Deke. Somebody in the chat mentioned that it wasn't cool to just leave Deke in the middle of nowhere with literally nothing. And
a survivor, by the way, the same Deke who everyone calls incompetent, who's been left with nothing several times, by the way, out of everyone has been displaced the most by far.
Right, exactly. And you know, just the callback is he's a decade before Zima was even invented, and yet he still got by. So I think that I liked sort of seeing the dynamic. I liked the idea, you know, and that Mac really appreciated what Deke had been doing, keeping an eye on the younger version of himself and his brother. I thought that that's kind of when you realize, like, oh yeah, I know he steals technology. He has his band and this weird ragtag version of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I think that they're so much closer at the end of just this one episode than I think I can, I hope that we're able to appreciate that as the season goes on.
It's interesting how optimistic you are about Mac. I think they're setting him up to die, to sacrifice for something and it not be as bad as we think. Let's talk about that dynamic of Mac and Deke and Mac's attitude. So let's talk about that. So we get montages of all the things that happen between Mac being isolated and Deke keeping, he keeps trying. He does not give up on Mac. He doesn't just say, you know what? The same way Mac is basically like, F you, you're done. He doesn't do that to Mac. So what do you think about Deke's trying? Yes, Rachel.
So here's my thing. You think that they might be setting up Mac to die. I think they might be setting Deke up to die.
Whoa. Let's not talk like that.
But that being said, I just want to, I think what really kind of hurts my heart is that Deke, he is, even though he does things and he's never, I mean, even though he has done, you know, certain things that could be perceived as being fake, he tries as hard as anybody else on the team, and he always believes in people. I don't think I've seen anyone else give other team members a hug when the Chang siblings, when they thought that they had done something bad because they were scared of the lasers and they were really like hurting and didn't feel good about themselves. Deke gave them a hug. He cheered them up. He was a leader, and he's a leader of people like that who don't believe in themselves in that moment. Deke stepped up and said, no, you should believe in yourself. And we need more leaders like him. So
yes, and he did that. And we saw him do something similar when he had the company, if you remember. Mm-hmm. He was empowering people. He was all about inclusivity. He was about giving people who normally or not necessarily would have that chance, giving them that chance. The Changs is a perfect example of that. Roxy's a perfect example of that. Katie, what were your thoughts?
I thought in this sense, the whole one word that came to my mind the entire episode with Deke is Hufflepuff. Yes, I'm throwing in a Harry Potter reference there, but he is loyal to a T.
Yes.
If it's someone that he sees as either his direct family, the family for him is the family he has created because he lost his parents. So he has a big heart and he's using that to continue to take care of everybody else, even if people don't take care of him. Mm. And that is, I think, one of his best qualities is his ability he's been left behind how many times? I mean, even the whole fact that he said, "Don't you forget about me," was its own commentary. I mean, he's been left behind multiple times and had to fend on his own, but he still hasn't let it break him down and become bitter or bad person for it. So being able to see more into his motivations and why, being able to see him just be him, oh, great, great.
Christian?
Well, I think it's important that we take a moment of silence for Cricket, who we barely got to know. People in the chat are pointing out how much they enjoyed the idea that Cricket sells Coke, and yet I've never seen him drink it. The reason I bring that up is because it's like, oh, Deke, aren't you just adorable? I hope that he does. I don't like this idea that he could die. I actually had not considered that. By the way, Hubby Joe says that Deke should get his own spinoff show.
He really should.
I'm there for it.
Here's the thing.
Me too.
I'm sadly in agreement with Rachel. I think they're setting up Deke to die. So I try to throw Mac under the bus and hope that Mac dies instead. Because I'm kind of like, you know what? No offense to Mac. I like Mac, but sure. Like if I had to choose, I'm team Deke between the two. I love how Deke doesn't give up. Deke is an optimist. Deke makes the best out of a bad situation. And we forget what Deke, we always try to tell people, walk a mile in other people's shoes, but you have to actually walk with their legs and their ability to walk. We forget how Deke was raised. Deke is the best of that grim future that we saw. We all saw how everyone acted so selfish and so detrimental to one another in this future where humans are basically just on the ship. And that's who Deke was. That's how Deke was raised, and yet was raised with enough love and care to still not be like that then and not be like that now. Sure, he tries to cut corners and he's a clever one, but he's still extremely selfless. And I think that's what this montage shows us the best, is that Mac wasn't a leader and Deke really was.
And he's grown a lot since we first met him too.
So much. He's grown. He's like adapted to so many different time zones. Like I just really think Deke has grown so much in this year. What about Deke's performance? Telling Mac it's urgent, then getting him to the bar, and then of course performing the song and the band and all that. Christian, you seem like you karaoke. What were your thoughts?
You're 100% right. And many of my karaoke songs, one of my songs was mentioned in this episode, White Snake, Here I Go Again. So yes, but that's better than karaoke because he put a band together. That's the dream right there. I need to have a band so that I can sing my 80s classics. And I loved it. I love how much he embraced the makeup and, he's many things, one of which is a showman. And Deke, yeah, he's there on a mission, but that mission is to entertain America, and God bless him for it. I think he did a great job. And you can tell that this was a really fun episode for everyone involved, the writers, the, you know, behind the scenes people, the actors, everybody, because you just got to, you get so many fun things in there. And you get, anytime you can get your cast singing 80s songs, that's great. So yeah, I've liked Deke from the beginning, but I think he is a much more substantial character despite the way that May approaches him in the interrogation. I think there's so much more to Deke than even last season, but especially when we first met him, where, you know, he was sort of a very, you know, to keep it in an 80s reference, he was basically Damone from Fast Times at Ridgemont High selling, you know, concert tickets out of his locker. You know, he's really come a long way from that point.
Rachel?
First of all, I couldn't stop looking at the eyeliner that Deke was wearing during that entire performance.
It's the 80s.
I know, but it was still hilarious because the thing is, I could tell that Jeff Ward, the actor who plays Deke, was having a blast doing
great
it.
Time.
And so, and that's the thing for me is that I was like, half of me was looking at the episode from like, watching it. And was involved. Then the other half of me was looking at it from the perspective of, oh, they had a blast doing this episode. And so just seeing Deke dancing and having a good time and just kind of like really owning up to those lyrics and that song. I loved it. I thought it was very fun. I'm glad we got to see someone giving that kind of performance the last season.
The lyrics he knew. The lyrics he knew.
Yeah, with Daisy in there.
Of course. Katie?
I loved that, his whole entire performance scene. It reminded me of a Shakespearean play that my college did when I was in undergrad, because they did an 80s version of Measure for Measure. So Ooh. It kind of gave me those vibes in the sense. He did have a lot of fun. And I do think because this episode had so much content with Deke, we saw his acting range go from comedic to very serious to caring, and all of it just built up, which I am worried too that it's setting up for him to die as well, because I feel like they always give someone a little bit more attention if they're gonna die in the end, which I don't know. But, and just the song choice, like I said, it was clever. Too bad Daisy couldn't hear it too.
Yeah, maybe if Daisy heard it, he would have won with that highlighter.
He'll just have to build another virtual framework where he...
So Deke creates this Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He basically, Coulson is back, the new team. We get the Changs. What were your thoughts? Listen, this was a whole thing. This was the meat. What were your thoughts on that? And, you know, I have to go with Katie on this one. I got to start with Katie. I want to know, as you're coming into this episode, what were your thoughts on this? Because I feel like Christian and Rachel and I, we've seen something like this before. But I want to know what Katie's fresh perspective is.
When it first started and you found out that it was not just a band, but it was his cover and his team, it kind of gave me their little bit of an echo to The Breakfast Club.
Yes.
In the sense, another show did this, AKA Stranger Things, and they did not do it very well. So it kind of had that feeling to it, where he is, of course, like always, making the best out of the situation and still trying to think of how he can help his friends and not be, he wants to be useful. He doesn't know how to not be useful and be helping someone. So he needed it for him, but also for his friends. So, but it definitely gave me that Breakfast Club, random people being thrown together. And I liked it. So, yeah.
Christian?
Yeah, the only thing that was missing was Deke talking about his girlfriend back in Canada. But yeah, I think that first of all, I loved the team, you know, especially the Changs, who literally ran away. And whatever the Russian's name was, I think that she was the only actual useful member of the team. You know, thank God they had her. And I think that sort of the comedy of that was a great offset to just the gruesome, just stunning amount of violence, the amount of blood there was in a network TV show. Yeah, it's on at 10 o'clock. It's a little bit late, but I was like, wow, that's a lot of blood. And it just, again, embraced the 80s in that way. So I love the team. Somebody in the chat said that, you know, if they were going to go all 80s, he could have named them the D team, as in the A team. That would have been nice.
Definitely allude to the A team. Yeah. Like, that was definitely how they alluded it.
They should have had a van with a red stripe on it. That's what the nice touch would have been. But yeah, no, I thought it was great. And you're like, yeah, this is the kind of team that Deke would put together.
Yeah. Because they definitely gave nods to all the 80s stuff. When we were talking about the creation of, you know, the perfect woman is not to Weird Science. It just goes through every single one of the tropes that we can think of. Rachel, what were your thoughts?
So Olga, the Russian, she was giving me Ivan Drago vibes from
Exactly.
That's what I kept thinking. And I was like, oh, okay. She was one of my favorite of the action of the team. So, and I really appreciated that, you know, like you said, Christian, she was very, like, she knew what she was doing more so.
Yeah, I'll just interject because from the chat, Kevin Seely has from the episode, Olga speaks limited English, but the international language of demolition. Exactly. That's why she was great. Yeah. Sorry. And
I thought it was really interesting too, near the end, that it was almost like, with Roxy Glass, they were almost kind of hinting of a romance between her and Olga. But I'm not sure if it was just the Russian translation, but I was like, oh, that's really, I actually would want to see that, but I don't know if we're going to get more of this team. So
Yeah, like I said, spinoff. I would watch this spinoff.
Yeah, Geek Squad.
I would watch that spinoff with Deke, but I mean, you say they're, Katie, you said they're heading for it, but then how would you get Coulson, who we need to talk about, Coulson coming back, and Mac and Roxy? There's a lot that goes on with it. So what would you think of this, and what do you think of Coulson, Mac, and Roxy, that whole, them as well? Christian?
You know, I think that... you know, I think there was so much other stuff in this episode that it was fine. And I don't even think that it was, you know, it was just kind of overshadowed by everything. But I did like the Roxy character for sure. And I don't know, I was actually thinking about how I expect that we will see them again, but not for a few episodes. You know, that Deke's going to need to pull a Deke out of nowhere, and he's going to need to assemble a team. And I hope we see, you know, like 20, or I guess at this point, it'd be almost 40 year older versions of all the, you know, he gets the team back together, but they're all old now. Yeah, so I would like to see that back in the present day. Deke's like, well, so, but I did think it was just some interesting dynamics, and realistically, we might never see them again, but I wouldn't put it past Deke, because we already talked about how loyal he is, and he's loyal to his team.
Rachel?
So, I would love to get the spinoff. I think my thing is, realistically, like Christian said, we probably will not see the team again.
Sure.
I really did like Roxy, though, and I thought that she was very unique, and she had a quirkiness about her personality. And also, I really liked that she was the one to talk to Mac.
And yeah, Mac and Roxy? Are we shipping them?
I like Yo-Yo and Max. I'm not shipping them that way, but like I did think that they had a really good dynamic and like a potential friendship. And I really liked that she was bringing up the fact that Deke went and visited Max. Well, Roxy believed this was Max's child, but we all know the truth. But I just found it interesting that's how they slipped it into the narrative, and that's how they got Mac to learn what Deke was doing for him.
Yeah, I mean, the Roxy character was strong. I like having Coulson back. Katie, what were your thoughts?
Obviously, I'm happy Coulson's back. I mean, it would not be the same show if there were not some form of Coulson in it. As for the rest of the team, I didn't mind them in this episode, and I did appreciate that dynamic. But given that it is the final season and we only have, what, 6 episodes left, I think it's too much to try to add them into the show with all the other characters. Since the other characters were not in this, I was okay with it. But it's a little late to add a whole bunch of new cast members to the team.
I see what you're saying. I mean, I'd love to see Roxy and the Changs again. I just think it plays very well. I'm interested if Coulson becomes another LMD. I think that's where we should be headed. We need Coulson. Let's download him into a physical manifestation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm pretty sure we're getting that just from what we, So. Yeah.
Thank you, Rachel.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Not to be Captain Obvious, but in case anyone didn't realize it.
Yeah. Robots, robots, robots. So we get a lot of robots in this episode. Robots are the primaries. Christian, what are your thoughts on having all these robots and how it played out?
I could always use more robots. There's never enough robots. But no, I think that, you know, again, we talked about some of the callbacks. So you get like the Mark One original 70s Battlestar Galactica callback with the red LED going back and forth. Yes. You have Short Circuit, the Johnny Five sort of model for the robots. Again, you can just tell, you know, production design, props, wardrobe, everybody having fun. So, I thought it was great. And again, what could be more of an 80s adversary than not just a robot, but a murderous robot with a drill? You know, I thought that, you know, if every show on television could have this quotient of robots, every show on television would be a little bit better.
I don't know. Rachel, what do you think about the robots and how it played out, the storyline as well?
Well, okay, I'm with Christian on the fact that I loved the short circuit references. Also, just in general, this is what the 80s was. Robots taking over. Terminator. Yeah. So it felt like, yes, like we are back in the right decade dealing with the right topic. I think what was interesting to me, though, just from a plot perspective, they tweaked it enough so that even though they were paying homage to all of these 80s films revolving around robots, it was still a very unique twist in the sense that, I mean, we've seen the Chronicons, we've seen what they are actually like in a physical, well, what we perceive to be a physical embodiment of them. So it's a little bit different than the typical 80s story of, oh yes, like we're just taking this, you know, artificial intelligence and transferring them into a robotic form. So I thought that it was a different take on it. And it left just enough unanswered questions that it can kind of carry us through to the remainder of the season with like the time stream. I did not realize that was a physical thing.
Yeah, exactly. That is a very physical thing. And it's going to be the scene that we need tied up before the end of the season. Katie, what are your thoughts?
I'm with Christian in the sense that it gave it a new dimension that I was not expecting and was completely 100% there for. I mean, it was already with the robots thing, you're already expecting a certain component, but then as soon as you saw that circular saw come out, you're like, well, that went there. All right. This is the direction we're going. It probably wouldn't work for a lot of shows, but I was all for it. All for it. I mean, and then of course there's the whole mystery of one got away.
What happened? We're going to find out.
And we know that nothing ever goes well when a robot is on the loose. A murderous robot is on the loose.
Exactly. Credit to Ghost 8386 in the chat who shouted out an 80s classic, the film Chopping Mall. So I was very glad that he mentioned that in there. It's everything that it sounds like. It's murderous mall, basically.
Yes. Chopping mall. I've never seen it. We're not all as old as Christian, but I appreciate the reference and I get it. Is there any last things you want to talk about this episode? Of course, we have 27 days to get to the next one and we're going to figure out how that goes. Anything else you guys think we should talk about before we go to our special segment?
I did like the touch at the end, and people were talking about it in the chat with Olga flirting with Roxy at the end.
You know, yes.
Just completely I thought that was a really nice touch.
Of course, because, our chat would bring that up. Of course.
Wow, come on. You know.
Yeah.
It's right in there. It's right in the demographic. I thought it was very funny. Yeah, a really fun episode. I know, Tehran, you didn't really like the film noir episode the way I did, but they're both such very different genre episodes, and that's why I'm really enjoying this season, and it makes it that much more heartbreaking that this is our last season.
You know what? But I will say something Katie brought up where it's just like, hey, we only have like 6 episodes left, and you're right. Even bringing up that film noir episode, I'm like, whoa, we did get 2 episodes of fluff now. So
sure,
we need to get to that point. That's actually a great point you brought up. Yes, Rachel.
I will take a fluff noir episode any day of the
week. Okay, all right. Thank you. That was my mistake. That was my mistake for calling on Rachel. Katie, any last comments, concerns, questions?
Yeah, Ivan Soto mentioned why do they keep bringing back the Maleks, and we didn't mention Nathaniel Malek.
Yeah,
having that little bit of a.
Told you he wasn't dead.
That little cameo. There has to be a reason. I'm sure that's going to be one of the loose ends that get tied up.
But he's
and
back.
It was it was so fast that you're right. We didn't even have the space because there's nothing to talk about yet.
Exactly.
We just know he's there. So we'll see how that goes. Let's play Agents of Should, shall we? Agents of Should. What should the agents have done? Something they should have done in this episode that they did not. Rachel.
Mac should have accepted Deke into his life from the very beginning, and they could have figured out a plan. Maybe it would have been better than what Deke ended up doing because he would have had the help of Mac. And then that way, it would have been a shorter episode.
Okay. Katie?
Mine is going to be an agent of shouldn't in the sense that they should not have continued to make Deke the butt of all their own personal issues.
Yeah. Okay, I'll accept that, Christian.
I think that Deke should have given us a complete set list. I want to know every song that he played in that bar. And I think we deserve getting some kind of online extra of all of it. And you had people saying that they were disappointed that he didn't do any David Bowie. Those songs are very expensive. So that's why he looked like David Bowie, or at least he went for that vibe, but sang a Simple Minds song.
Yeah, so that's how it plays. My agents of should is Mac should have, I'm almost in agreement with Rachel, Mac should have been more involved. Being, it's not like we're just stuck in the 80s. We're stuck in the 80s knowing that we're eventually going to meet the team again. And also, we're stuck in the 80s knowing the team's going to figure out how to get you. Let's use this time and remember why we're stuck in the 80s, because we're trying to save the world. So instead of just being moody and broody and fixing these model cars, why don't we do some recon? Why don't we do some calculations? Why don't we use our time effectively? And it's actually a lesson to all of us quarantined too. Let's come out smarter than when we went in. That was a lot of time that was literally just wasted. Wasted. If we put in half the energy we do into beating up Deke into actually trying to solve this world-ending problem, then the world would be solved. Like, we would be able to solve a lot of these problems and fix the planet in many ways. So that's what my concern is. They're just really just wasting time, and I don't appreciate that. Let's jump into news and gossip, shall we? Our news and gossip this week is actually a news that we're going to have to bring to you from AfterBuzz. This will be our last episode as we go on hiatus for the rest of the summer. Hopefully we will be back, but I believe this will be the last Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coverage that we have, not just for now, but for basically for AfterBuzz, simply because this is the final season. I don't think we'll be back before the season is done. We might be. Hopefully we're back before the finale. But we appreciate each and every one of you at home. Please leave your love and comments. If you're listening to us on iTunes, give us that 5 stars. So we appreciate you all. Thank you so much for being a part of our family. We shall return. Hopefully we will be back in the fall with all new shows. I know a lot of you are repeat customers. So get more customers on board. Share, subscribe, spread the word, spread the love, and just not Corona. Let's talk some predictions, shall we? Quick predictions on what we think is going to happen either next episode or the rest of the season. Let's start with Christian.
Well, we saw the coming attractions, so we know we see I guess not everybody sees them, so I guess it's a light spoiler if you didn't see it, but we're going to see Daisy's mom, and I think that just opens so many possibilities, and I think we're going to get a lot of Inhumans. Some familiar faces, some not so familiar. Not the Inhumans, that's a different series entirely, but some of the Inhumans that we've seen on S.H.I.E.L.D. before, I think we're going to get them, and that'll be not just next week. I think throughout the rest of the season, we're going to get a lot of them. Whether Daisy does or doesn't have her powers, that part remains to be seen. I do believe she will have them, maybe not right away, but I think that they'll come back if they're gone.
They better come back. Rachel?
So I'm hoping that we end up seeing Daisy's father back. I don't know if you all remember, but way back, like when his arc was done and they were finished with the character, they had wiped his memory. But in this rendition, you know, we don't know where he's at this point. He would still have his memory. So I'd like to see Calvin return if we, you know, and
tie that loose end.
Yeah, because that was so, to me, it was very unresolved. But that, and also this is more of a hope. Let's see Fitz next week. I'm just throwing it out there.
Let's get some Fitz.
Every week.
Yeah. Hey, Ivan Soto, is he in the credits next week? Katie.
For me, this is going to be a potential hope. With the last season of a show, you always want to see what characters are going to bring back to tie it all up in a way that they can if the characters have not left the show from dying or whatnot, being killed off. I hope we see Ward that are going to come back into the beginning of the S.H.I.E.L.D. era that we saw in the show, which means coming into contact with Ward before he was Hydra. That's all I'm saying. Yes. I just want to see Ward in another sense because he was a very...
Because he's hot. Favorite. We get it.
He was a fan favorite for a while, and it would be nice to see him return just for one episode or cameo.
Yeah, if word comes back, I might bail on the rest of the season. I really started to like this show when he died and stayed dead.
You did like that. You never, I don't know.
Yeah, when Sky turned into Daisy, I liked her a lot more. When he was gone, I liked the show a lot more. So
that's a real thing.
Come at me, everybody.
With me, the chat's all like, Ward, we need Ward.
Oh yeah, no, they don't like me. That's fine.
I always shipped Ward and Daisy, so I'd be happy to see him back.
No, I was off Ward because of Ward and Daisy. So I'm gonna go with my thing is this. I think there is a Coulson that exists that May ends up with.
Ooh.
Or at least that becomes the oh, this is what is going to happen version. I think that Deke does sacrifice himself again in a way. And that's when Daisy realizes what Deke really meant to her and not realizing it. I think that Mac also might not make it as well. And I think that we will start seeing some big, quick things happen in the last four episodes. I think the last four episodes are going to be one of those where no one's safe. No one's safe from making it. Fitz and Simmons. Well, Fitz we get back, but we don't get Fitz and Simmons the way we think we should. And I think that's another thing. But until then, where can people find you if you want to be found, Katie?
You can find me on all social media, including TikTok and Twitch at KT_Christine with a C.
Christian?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And earlier today on Marvel Movie News, we had a very lengthy sit down with a longtime writer of the Uncanny X-Men, Chris Claremont. We talked to him for more than an hour. Rachel was there.
Wow.
My friend Michael Shirley was there. And please check that out over on the Popcorn Talk at Marvel Movie News. And please make sure you stay in touch with us, because maybe this show won't be around anymore, but certainly by the end of the season, we will have to talk S.H.I.E.L.D. again. And again, mm-hmm. That's at ChristianDMZ. You'll be able to find me there. And I will help you find everyone else. And you will be able to talk S.H.I.E.L.D. with us at all times.
That's what's up, Rachel.
And you can find me on Twitter at Rach Goodman, which is all my acting stuff. Or you can find me on my author Instagram account, which is at Rachel Radner Author. And like Christian said, definitely stay in touch. I'll be around. So.
And yeah. I just want to give a... say thank you to all of you once again and let you know for being here. I'd like to thank the panel, and by the panel I mean Katie and Christian and everyone else who believes that Daisy and I belong together. I'd like to thank those members of the panel. Who am I? I am Daisy's Destiny at I Am Terron. Daisy, you can find me there. I Am Terron all across the board, and we appreciate you. Looking forward to seeing more of you when we return. Until then, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans, bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.